up. But I reckon you could probably hear my voice anyway. It's a pretty big one. I've learnt to use it in the playground when I was teaching. Today, I want to speak to everyone on family. And before I get started, I just want to get the kids' attention. Are you all looking at me? Because I've got something for you. You got something at the door and you were asked to put together in when I asked you to, so I hope you've all held off. The sheet talks about putting together a family crest or a coat of arms. It's got four sections on it, and there's questions at the bottom that say things like, what's really important to you? What do you recognise that makes your family special? What are those things? So you've got to think before you put pen to paper. But I've got a draft one up here that someone made. See, they put their family name at the bottom on the ribbon. And then it looks to me like church maybe and God. I'm hoping it's not just church, but it's a relationship with God is important to them. They've put safety is important. The family makes them feel safe, obviously. They've got, looks like a caravan and an open fire, so that must be something very special that they do for holidays. And then they've got good food, fruit and vegetables. So that's what I was wondering if you guys wouldn't mind doing while I'm speaking to the adults. You have to have a think. You know, I imagine Riley and Maddie will have Twisty, the horse, on theirs, and the Hewitsons might have their Christmas Advent adventures. I don't know. But things that make your family unique and are really important to you. What I want you to do is when you finish that after the service, can I have them to have a look at? I will give them back, but make sure your first name's on them as well. And I will have a really good look. I might even be able to display them for everyone to see all about our families at CBC. Well, I'd just like to pray before I start to speak. So if we could close our eyes. And I'm talking to the kids as well at this point. Is that all right if we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your presence here among us. We thank you that you have given us your Holy Spirit and that your Holy Spirit is within us and here today. And we just pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be what speaks, that you would use those words that are from you to travel from my mouth and touch the hearts of those who listen. I believe different things will be for different people, but I do believe, Lord, that this is a word that you've given to me to share today. And I pray, Lord, that you will use it powerfully in our families. Amen. A few weeks ago when we launched Prayer Partners, I spoke to you about the formula I plus F equals T, which is information plus formation equals transformation. Transformation's what we want in our children's lives. And as I've quoted before, this is something that is really important because we're losing so many children from the faith, so many youth from faith. And so what it says is information is good, but only when it provides the foundation for formation. See, a young child at school who's got no one to play with, who's been left out of a game, maybe been bullied, sitting on their own, it's really not going to help them to know that Noah built an ark. He was in the ark. The rain rained for 40 days and 40 nights, that he took two of each animal into the ark, and that the ark was made of gopher wood. But what will help that child is if from that story they've learnt that God gives us directions to follow. We need to be obedient, and sometimes that means that we will be persecuted. We will be, we will cop flack from people, but we need to stand firm in what God's called us to do and do it. And so God is a merciful God. He comes through, and he came through for Noah, and that's the stuff we're talking about when we talk about formation alongside the information. See, transformation is something that only God's Spirit can do, and it's when he chooses. But it's up to us to provide the information plus the formation, because we want our kids to experience a living God. We want them to know him, not just know about him. And so the vision was quite obvious to me for kids and families, that we want to partner with the parents to grow deep roots of faith in God's kids. And I think we have the vision there for you to look at. That's what it's about, transformation, growing those deep roots of faith. They will only come from the formation element of the equation. This equation has led to looking at and developing 10 faith formation pillars, which I've talked about before, and last time you remember I spoke about one, intergenerational connection. And these pillars are about, if we implement them intentionally in the lives of our children, then we have a much greater chance of holding them in their faith so they won't drop off the globe, they won't disappear and let go of God. They will hang on and be truly transformed. Today, I particularly want to speak about one pillar. Sorry, my mouth goes my mouth dries when I'm nervous, but one pillar that's called family. In the Hebrew, there's two words in the Old Testament, and I'm not even going to try and pronounce them because it's not going to mean much to anyone, so that was good. But these two words connect, are relating to what the word family means. One is a household of faith, which we would call the immediate family, the parents and children living under the one roof. But the other word family that is often in the Old Testament is the community of faith. And this is where the intergenerational connection from last time weaves into this message today. The community of faith, this word carries with it a sense of tribe or clan. It's a community of people who are connected by a bond of kinship or a common cause or belief. And of course that's us. But this can also refer to the extended family. So you get these two mentions of the word family. But in terms of the household of faith or the immediate family, what do we know about it? Well, we know that children in the family see experience within the family the child development. I know from when I was doing psychology at uni, it stuck in my mind because it really hit me when I learnt it, that a child's personality is basically formed by the age of 5. So you can see how imperative the family unit is as like a little greenhouse for that seed, particularly when we talk about seeds of faith. We also know that they, the family, are the primary faith communities for all ages, but especially children in their formative years. The family is God's idea for protection and nurture of children while they're growing strong. And I'm talking about growing strong physically, emotionally, and spiritually. The family is where the foundations of life are built, and it's where children learn a sense of belonging, where they know they're loved and where they belong. And it's a place where their identity and their worth is beginning to be shaped and developed. All these things, such important things for establishing a child and putting them on the right road. Look, we know we live in a broken world, and it breaks my heart, like I know it would break yours, that there are so many children who don't get that from a family. And so they suffer. But that is the reason, that is the outline of what family is supposed to do, and that's God's design for family. So why is family so important then to faith formation? Well, I think I've touched on a little bit of it already, but I want to break it down to three major points. God's design is family. We only have to open up the Bible, and the first story that we read is Adam and Eve and their children. The Bible starts with a family. And then it continues to go on talking about the generations and the generations, and the stories unfold of generations of families that all lead back. So we get to Genesis 47, where Jacob, we learn about Jacob, and he moves to Egypt with his family. Joseph is down in Egypt and he's an old man now. He moves with his family and actually tells you that by that stage there was 70 in his family, adults and children. Quite a large clan. And then, of course, we know that this family formed the basis of the 12 tribes of Israel later in the Bible. So family is obviously very important to God, that he would weave it through his story, the big Bible story. And of course we know too that God chose Jesus, his son, to be born in a family. He could have chosen anything. He could have just plopped him on the earth. He could have done anything, but he chose Jesus to be born as a baby, to grow up and be nurtured in a family unit. Secondly, God's command is family. And we heard Kai read the scriptures today, which in Deuteronomy 6, it says, "Teach our children so you and your children and your grandchildren will fear the Lord your God as long as you live." He commands us to pass on faith. And that's where we can come in. See, I've been this term, funny enough, been doing a fair bit in my other job at school in the Aboriginal community, learning about the Aboriginals. And it's just struck me that even though they might not be Bible-believing, except those in Borroloola, we know they are, but this is what God's calling us to do, exactly what the Aboriginals have done. They get the elders, gather the generations, and they pass on their heritage, they pass on their culture, they pass on the stories, and they give the kids little bit by little bit, layer by layer, what they need to know to set them up for life. This is what God is asking, commanding us to do as a family. He asks us in verse 7 to repeat this again and again to your children. Don't just tell them once, but keep reminding them that God loves them, that they are God's children, and so on and so forth. So it's passing on faith, but also reminding them. And thirdly, God's strategy is family. It's a strategy. He always designed that society and the nation would be built on strong families. We have to look only at the Nehemiah story, one of my favourites. When the walls of Jerusalem are broken down, what does Nehemiah use as a strategy? He gets the families positioned around the wall to build and protect it. He sees that as the way to get the wall built quickly and effectively. In Nehemiah it says, "Don't be afraid of them," the enemy. "Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes." I really feel this is a real word from God too, because we're living in a world today which we know is seeing an attack on the family unit and a breakdown of families. I was sitting down at Warrinoora River and thinking on this, and that's a place where I meet with God and pray, and I really felt God speaking to me about Christian families need to be lights in the community. They need to stand out. They need to stand out and stand up. And the thought was going through my head, and I looked up over the river and all I saw was bush, and then I saw this one red tree, and I've got a picture for you. It's not as good as the actual day when it was in light, but if you can imagine that green bush was everywhere, and then this one red tree was just to my right. And the words came to me, which I believe was God's prompting, like a city on a hill. And so I looked it up in my concordance, what that scripture was, and it's actually just after the Beatitudes. It's Matthew 5:14. And it says, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hill, glowing in the night for all to see." I feel God is saying to us, Christian families, you need to be, I'm calling you to be, a city on a hill, glowing in the night for all to see. Does the people around you know that you are Christians? Do you stand out? Are you different? Growing up, it was a bit easy for me because being Salvation Army, We didn't drink or smoke. And as a young teenager, it was a very obvious thing. They'd say, why don't you drink? And I'd say, I'm from the Salvation Army, which then got into a conversation about God. But, you know, and this doesn't necessarily mean that I was necessarily living the life. I was just following the rules. But we are called to live the life, to be transformed, and to be that light on the hill. God knew that eternal truths would be more effectively learned and modelled in the loving environment of a God-fearing home. You know yourselves, a young baby comes into a Christian family and they first begin to learn about their identity in Christ at a very young age. I asked Kelly, because I know that we're already reading books to Malachi, and there's a beautiful book he's got that's based on Psalm 139. It's just so beautifully written for a baby. And books about how much God loves him that are being read to him constantly. But Kelly said, and I remember, she said she's been reading since he was born, but she was also singing over him when he was in the womb. And so the baby is being shaped into the identity of Christ from such an early age. This is the role of the Christian family. And I particularly want to focus on the role of enabling kids to grasp their identity in Christ. Such an important thing, because the world comes at them with all sorts of things that it conflicts and confuses. This is an example, a very secular example, but when I was teaching at Menai Primary School, I was speaking to the director of Kids Art Academy, and she said to me, you know, Jackie, you can go to a group of kindy kids, now remember, they've just come out of the home and started school. And if you ask them who's good at art, they all throw up their hands because they're all good at art. But she said, if you speak to that same group by the time they're in year two, you're lucky if you get a quarter of the kids put up their hands, because the world is starting to tell them another truth and shaping them. And so the place of the greenhouse of the home, particularly in those early formative years, are really imperative. The world offers our kids a wide array of choices, which they will be tempted with. It's not if, it's they will. It's the truth. But it's how strong is the foundation that pulls them back in? How strong is the anchor that pulls them back in? Do they know the strongest identity that they have is in Jesus and what he thinks of them, that he loves them, that he knew them before they were born, that he knew all the days that they had to live, that he calls them a masterpiece, not just a slapdash happy work, but a masterpiece, something priceless, something unique, something valuable. That is the strongest identity we can build into our children. Well, kids, it's time for you to pipe up and listen over here, because I've got something really special for you guys. If you watch the screen, we're going to play a clip from Toy Story. But you've got to watch it and answer this question. So it's the first hand up. And you get to talk in the microphone if you've got the answer. So that's cool, isn't it, Mariah? Yeah, I reckon you're going to be a little worshipper. How old are you? 3. So there you go. All right, well, in Toy Story, this clip that we're going to see, I want the answer, what causes a change in Buzz's behaviour? It will probably be an older kid that'll have to answer this, because there's no answer in the film. You've got to watch and think. What causes the behaviour to change in Buzz? All right, let's watch that.
Hey, Buzz! Hey, get over here and see if you can get this toolbox off me. Oh, come on, Buzz, Buzz, I can't do this without you. I need your help.
I can't help. I can't help anyone.
Well, sure you can, Buzz. You can get me out of here, and then I'll get that rocket off you, and we'll make a break for Andy's house.
Andy's house? Sid's house? What's the difference?
Oh, Buzz, you've had a big fall. You must not be thinking clearly.
No, Woody. For the first time, I am thinking clearly. You were right all along. I'm not a Space Ranger. I'm just a toy, a stupid, little, insignificant toy.
Whoa, hey, wait a minute. Being a toy is a lot better than being a Space Ranger.
Yeah, right.
No, it is. Look, over in that house is a kid who thinks you are the greatest, and it's not because you're a Space Ranger, pal. It's because you're a toy. You are his toy.
But why would Andy want me?
Why would Andy want you? Look at you! You're a Buzz Lightyear! Any other toy would give up his moving parts just to be you. You've got wings. You glow in the dark. You talk. Your helmet does that whoosh thing. You are a cool toy. As a matter of fact, you're too cool. I mean, what chance does a toy like me have against a Buzz Lightyear action figure? All I can do is... Why would Andy ever want to play with me when he's got you? I'm the one that should be strapped to that rocket. Listen, Buzz, forget about me. You should get out of here while you can. Buzz, what are you doing? I thought you...
Come on, Sheriff. There's a kid over in that house who needs us. Now let's get you out of this thing.
Yes, sir!
All right, what changed Buzz's behavior? Who can tell me? Or what was the reason that his behavior changed? Caden, do you know the answer?
Because Woody was really encouraging to him and he realized that he meant something to someone.
Absolutely, well done, yes. Well done, Caden. Yeah, I hope you picked that up, that Andy needed to remind Buzz of his identity because for a moment he'd totally forgotten it. He needed to hear it and then he needed to see it. He saw it on his foot. And you know, we're the same. We often, adults and children, we forget our identity. And so this is where it's the parents' responsibility to remind children of what their identity is in Christ. There's something that Michelle Anthony teaches in her spiritual parenting course that I want to share with you today. She advocates writing an identity statement. And I'm going to read one to you that I've written based on Ephesians 1, 3 to 14. But the idea is you take it and you pin it up on the doorposts. You put it under their pillows. You put it in their lunchboxes. You put it everywhere to remind them of who they are. And I've got copies of what I'm about to read down the front if anyone wants to pick one up after the service. It says, "My name is Jackie and I belong to Jesus. Long before God made the earth, he had me in mind and had decided to make me the focus of his love. I have been adopted into his family. I am a daughter of the Most High King with an eternal inheritance waiting for me in heaven. I've been bought and completely paid for by the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. I am perfect in his eyes. God will keep me for all eternity by his Holy Spirit living in me. God's guarantee that I belong to him. In Christ, I find my purpose, who I am, and what I am living for. so don't mess with me. And that's the good part for you guys, kids. This is who we are. This is who I am. This is who each one of you are. And we need to impress it on our children. When they sit down, the Bible says, when they walk along the road, when they lie down and when they get up, fix these words to their hearts and minds. Buzz heard the truth. He heard the information. And then he saw the truth when he looked at his foot and he saw the name of who he belonged to. And he probably remembered the day that it was written there. And then, of course, we saw the transforming behaviour. The change took place. Can I say, if you haven't accepted Jesus as your solid foundation, I would love to pray with you, or a family member or friend that brought you would love to pray with you after the service. But I just want to finish by saying family is God's idea for nurturing our beautiful kids. We, as a greater faith community, we need to continue to support them in this role because they can't do it alone. They need us, and this is where Families Ministry has really tried to support. We need to do this and support them in this faith formation process because we want to see lives transformed, don't we? Don't we? Yes. We want to change that trend of 50,000 kids leaving faith. We want to see a generation of youth rising up at CBC. Yes, amen. And we want to see deep roots of faith in our kids. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word of encouragement that family is so important, both the immediate family, but also the extended church family. And we pray now that you would, by your Spirit, continue to remind us of the truth. You would remind us of our identity in you, that you would make us a light in the community so people would truly know who we are and who we represent. Oh, Lord, we do thank you for all that you are to us and for your word that teaches us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.